SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency, the Pits, the Plus, also some people, the Bus, and everyone else in between. So if you're throwing it down on the East Coast right now, we're 8 days away from the Super Bowl. It's getting real. We're starting to put our plays in, and we've got multiple plays in already, actually. We'll share some of them with you, and we're going to kick it all week next week, coming up with as many different plays. Plus money plays, Tony, is what I'm looking for. Plus money. So I'm going through, and there's, yeah, God knows, I don't know, there's literally thousands of options, right, for games now, for, yeah, the Super Bowl now. So it's taking me, I haven't even fully done it. I haven't had time. I got to sit down and just go through each page, each prop, and like, okay, nope. And then sort of do, and then, you know, go over it again and decide, okay, is this good or not? But I've got a bunch of plus money angles, actually, that I think a couple of them can hit, and then we can cash. But, Tony, let's talk more college basketball now. So what do you think of the Purdue game? Purdue and Indiana.
Well, you know, typically you ask me to throw out a play or two for College Saturday, and I was – one of my plays for you, at least the first play I was going to mention, was I was going to take Indiana at home, plus the points against Purdue, and the fact that we know Purdue's size, and when their bigs are dominating the paint, that they're difficult to big to beat. But this Indiana team is different than most Indiana teams, or at least Indiana teams in the past. And I think they win for several reasons, and I think they have a really good chance. They rebound no matter who they're playing. They rebound, and that's something you have to do against Purdue board for board. And their offense works well enough to get the right shot against Purdue. That's really important. They don't take a lot of threes, this Indiana team. They don't. This is also different from past Indiana teams. But when they take a three, it's typically a quality shot, and it's unguarded, and they hit those shots. And these are the kind of variables that would give Purdue issues. They can also run where Purdue doesn't really want to run. Look, Indiana, 11-1 at home, 11-1 this year at home. The line should tell you a little bit of something. I thought Purdue was going to be a bigger favorite, but I like Indiana, the Hoosiers, at home plus the points.
All right, we got our AM radio affiliate joining us in a couple of minutes. We'll get into some Super Bowl in the next segment with Tony before we let him go. Tonight, John Marks is going to join us from Philadelphia. Steve DelVecchio, Larry Brown Sports in the house. Rob Vino will kick it with us from Philadelphia. But I don't know what I'm missing on this one, Tony, with K-State and Texas. K-State, yeah, home underdogs. They're 12-0 at home. They just get zero respect. Not to mention, we're talking about a K-State team. You remember this game. They set the Big 12 record. They put up 116 points. Yeah, it was an NBA score. 116 to 103. 116 to 103, and the total was 137. It didn't go to overtime either. They scored 219 points. What else? I remember at the half, I was on the over, and I was on K-State in that game. Well, yeah, it was 58-40 at the half.
Yeah, defense. Last time. There wasn't a bit of defense in that game.
63-58 in the second half. All right, hold on, Tony. Level 2, this is Sports Rage. Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio Network, shout out to our AM radio affiliates, 97.1 The Freak in Dallas, Fort Worth, and of course everybody kicking it in SoCal and everybody else in between as well. So Tony Finn will rejoin us in a couple of moments here. We'll get Tony's initial thoughts on the Super Bowl, maybe a couple more college basketball thoughts. We'll get back to it. Tony does like Indiana to knock off Purdue, the number one ranked Purdue Boilermakers go to Assembly Hall to take on the Hoosiers. We've got Duke at North Carolina, although it's not the same, right? Coach K's not there. Roy Williams not there. It doesn't have the same, you know, it doesn't have the same type of deal to it, but it's still a big game. We'll get Tony's thoughts on that. The big news from basketball, besides the fact that pretty much, man, there's more fighting in the NBA now than there is in the NHL. Hey, don't tell me that NBA players don't care. I told you guys this. I've been telling you guys this. The load man, don't equate load management with them not caring. All right? Load management, like, is, trust me, when they're on the court, they want to kill somebody. And, man, we're seeing emotions are running high. Stuff is lit. I don't know what was said. All right? I don't know what was said. But Mo Bamba and Austin Rivers. Now, listen, Austin Rivers is one of those guys that most people in the NBA want to punch. And Mo Bamba ended up doing it. But it was one of those, you know, a lot of these NBA fights are kind of just a lot of talking or pushing and nothing really ever happens. But the last couple of nights, it's getting realer where it's like you get the feeling that people didn't break it up. And the people talk about Dylan Brooks and the Dylan Brooks stuff, but Dylan Brooks, he actually calmed down after, all things considering. Tonight, they actually were going for real. Like, they were rolling around, and they wanted a piece. And Mo Bamba tweeted out after, you know, mess with and you'll find out type of stuff. Hey, it's like NASCAR. NASCAR is cool, but it's cooler when the drivers are beating each other up and throwing helmets at each other. It's like the NBA. It's cool, but it's cooler when they all are fighting every night. I love it. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Well, you can't make this up. I was just talking about how basketball is lit right now. And UNLV and Fresno just got into it. For pretty much for real as well. Like, it was a pretty hard foul. I got to believe that UNLV just cost themselves the game here. They're already down, but it was on UNLV. And the whole thing is UNLV bricked it, too. They should have, like, cut the lead to one. And basically, it's 77-74. It was like, there was like 30 seconds left. UNLV had the ball. The kid had a, you know, was a little mid-range jumper. He should have hit it. He didn't. He actually bricked it pretty good. Boise, Fresno got the rebound. Fresno gets the rebound. They take it down the court. They alley-oop it for like a dunk type thing. But the kid on like Vegas came flying in. It wasn't really malicious. He just came flying in hard and, like, tried to block it. And he didn't really care if he bumped into the dude on Fresno. And then dude on Fresno didn't like it. And the guy on UNLV was ready to go. Like, and then they both sort of fell over on top of each other. Let's see, all right? I got to tell you, Tony, it was kind of, I'm not sure. This might be a clean block. You know what? I got to see this angle again here.
Yeah.
The guy on Fresno, if that's a clean blow, look. All right, goes up. No, it's not a clean block, but it wasn't that bad. And then, dude,
no.
The guy on Fresno should get a T for running into him. I'm seeing here he deliberately fell into him on purpose.
He looks like he's stumbling, but I think he knows what's going on.
No, Tony, he's not stumbling. He knows exactly what he's doing.
he's got his head down.
He's stumbling right into Buddy, right into who happened to like fall right into his back into the railing, if you notice. Like, no, Buddy on Fresno was pissed. He gets up. Yeah, he sort of stumbles, but does the, if you look at his legs, he's like a running back. He's still churning, Tony.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's anything here, although they've made a decision because he's at the table right now telling them what the, and I don't have volume on for you know, reasons you know why, but I'm guessing that this is either a nothing or it may even be a double technical. But the problem is that Dresden's going to the line. I mean, 20.6 left, down three. If the big man, and this
that's
big
the
man
call, Tony.
Horrible. Yeah.
That's the call. Foul on the play. Two free throws. Technical on both these guys. That's the common sense thing.
That's right. Yeah, I agree. That's what I think we'll see. And here they're going to announce it. I mean, I don't have the volume on, like I said, so they're still conferencing. Like,
there's nothing worthy of, like, ejection or anything. Nobody did anything too bad. Like, Buddy came in hard, and then Buddy on Fresno just sort of, like, did the old fake, I can't control myself, but he started, like, lunged him into the crowd.
Yeah, he wanted some of that afterwards, too. It's like, see, you're about ready to win this game. You're going to blow it.
Well, that was another thing, Tony. It's a good point. Like, the kid on Fresno, if I'm the ref, you're not doing yourself a favor. You could almost sell it and, like, listen, I don't know, whatever. I fell into him. Yeah, you're standing on the bench telling a kid, you want some, right? Like, you have to be restrained. You have to be restrained. Isn't that funny, though, Tony? I just said this about basketball. I'm like, God, they're fighting every night now, and then boom.
I mean, off air, I told, I'll just celebrate. I said, Gabe, this is your fault. You started it.
Hey, play on, whatever. Well, unless it goes to overtime. Fresno's looking good here. Okay, Tony, we've got a couple of minutes left with you. We appreciate your time. Good luck on the keynote tables machines tonight.
Thank you.
But what are your thoughts on the Super Bowl right now?
Well, my thoughts are that I'll do the same thing I do every year almost on the Super Bowl, unless there's some standout variables or mismatches on the field. I like experience, and in this case, it's hard to play against Mahomes. He's going to be healthy, and I like Andy Reid, his desire and his passion, and probably his motivation to want to beat Philly. Only not just because of the Super Bowl, it's Philly. The coach for Philly is an ex-coach for Reid. So many ties, so many connections. But in a game that's a pick'em, and I like it, this is a game where I like Kansas City to win. And if they win, I think it's a game they can win by margin. That's where your plus. I have some alternative lines I like at plus 300, like a minus 8 at plus right at 300 too. So those are the things I've played so far. A lot of props though I played already, Gabe.
Yeah, what props did you get in?
I played some obscure props to start. I didn't want to get down to the nitty gritty coin flip props or even money props, but I think Andy Reid's going to do some things that he typically wouldn't do. Any offensive lineman, for instance, to score a touchdown, like a pass at plus 3,500. Any non-quarterback to have one passing touchdown, where if a lineman catches it from a non-quarterback, the plus 2,200 and the plus 3,500. Do the math, plus 5,700. Some obscure props like that you can put, dimes and nickels on just for fun, but could end up being profitable.
What do you think of 9-1? Will any quarterback, I don't know, obviously for this to happen, you have to think it's going to be a high-scoring game, but will either quarterback throw for 400 or more yards 9-1?
That's a
plus 900.
That's pretty good. I would say if there's a quarterback that's going to do this, it's going to be Mahomes.
Exactly.
I don't think Hurts does. Yeah, I don't think.
And it is possible. This way. I think there's a better than a 9-1 chance it happens. Like, it should be like 5-1 or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes. And it would be, again, even though the Philly receivers, they're calling the Philly receivers superior. And a lot of guys I know, the conversation I had with them, Gabe, they're saying, listen, we really like, they like the first quarter touchdown for Philly to be a passing one, which pays pretty well because they lead the league. They led the league in leads, basically having the lead throughout the game this year and first half points, which makes, and I'm trying to look up that what that odds was on that, but it was a good price on that to be, to have.
Well, funny you say that. I like Tony. Excuse me too. If I'm jumping in, I got a headset. I got to get a new pair of headphones. I figured I'd get through the night tonight, but I'm having a little harder time here. I got to crank stuff more. But I don't know what I've done. Like, I go through a lot of equipment. We're on all the time and stuff, but I buy the same gear, right? So we buy the same. If I like something, I'm like, oh, I got a new one. This round didn't last as long as the last round, Tony. Like, I don't know what I've done, but I'm like, man, everything's falling apart with me here suddenly. But
more losses. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, frustration,
more
just putting
Indian
everything
losses.
Down harder. Yeah. So exactly. I might have thrown him a few times aggressively. But all kidding aside, I actually got the feeling I like Kansas City as well, and I I like Jalen Hurts, had a great year and stuff, but Jalen Hurts is suddenly a favorite against Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I guess it's a team sport, but it's a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts, and I don't think Jalen Hurts is 100%. I think Mahomes' health is being talked about, but Hurts isn't enough. But I get a feeling, like, it wouldn't surprise me, like you said, if Philadelphia scores first. Philadelphia start off strong. Kansas City have been known to start off a little slower. And
yes,
68% of the time, the team that scores first wins the Super Bowl. That's the all-time record. Yep. 68% right. of the time, team that scores first wins the Super Bowl. It's plus 150, no. And I'm actually going to say this, yep. no. Because I think Kansas City are going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia scores the first touchdown. Right? But
yeah,
hypothetically,
plus 210. Yeah.
You're seeing it as high as plus 210?
Well, for Hurts to throw a touchdown pass in the first quarter is plus 210.
Hurts too.
Right. To Hurts too, yeah. So there's some plus, all you mentioned it, all plus money props, right? Well, I played the kickoff to be a touchback, and hell, 67% of the time in the history of the Super Bowl. Now, it's different now, and it's your buddy who brought it up last year, being Pat, when he said,
it's 18-3 the last 21 years.
Right, but they break the ball out, that Wilson ball, the Duke, out. Now, they don't touch it, they don't rub it, nothing. It comes out of the box and onto the tee, and it flies differently, and long story short is, plus 160 for it to not be a touchback. I'm on that.
I can't argue it. Yeah. Tony, great stuff. Flew by tonight. We'll catch up with you the next week. Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Tony Finn, Wager Talk. John Marks will join us from Philadelphia. Countdown to Super Bowl is on. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I am Gable Morency, Sirius XM, channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, San Diego, Los Angeles, SoCal, kicking it in the house. And so is John Marks. Let's head it to Philadelphia. WIP radios all over the Super Bowl. Countdown to kickoff continues. John Marks steps up and in. John, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
You got it, Gabe. What's up, buddy?
So, John, there's been so much talk about Patrick Mahomes over the past couple of weeks and his high ankle sprain. Not so much talk about Jalen Hurts and his shoulder. Jalen Hurts been pretty open about it, that he is going through a process right now. You're not a doctor, but I'm going to ask you anyways, John, what are you hearing? What's the feeling about Jalen Hurts right now and his progression? And or is this something that really can't be dealt with until there's time to really, I don't know, potentially have surgery after? What's your feeling about Jalen Hurts and his shoulder?
Yeah, if you said to me Jalen Hurts has surgery after the season, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised. I don't know if that's the case, but I can certainly say this, that he hasn't been 100%. In any game since the injury, and I think he's going to be obviously as close to 100% as he's been coming up here in the Super Bowl, but this may be something that needs a much longer period of time to heal. I think when you think shoulder injury, you're thinking something like a pitcher, where it's affecting his throwing motion or it's affecting his velocity, and that really hasn't seemed to be the case. I believe it's more like the shoulder near the collarbone, and I actually am skeptical it's actually a shoulder injury and it's not a collarbone-type injury. Maybe it's technically the shoulder, but I'm thinking more collarbone area, because initially when he got injured, there was a lot of talk they were worried about him having his collarbone broken. So if it was just a shoulder injury or a shoulder sprain, you would think that it would be almost 100% healthy right now. I mean, it's been almost 2 months. But with that being said, I don't think in the Super Bowl that that's going to be any reason or any excuse for, if he doesn't play well or the Eagles don't win, that it'll be because he wasn't healthy enough, because I believe he's healthy enough at this point.
John, there's so many Super Bowl trends, and we've been breaking them all down, but one, and some of them, I don't really care what teams' records are when they're on NBC or Fox or CBS, right? Like, right. Stuff like that is stupid, or the team that's wearing a white jersey and all that. But something that is just sort of factual, not really one of these, like, kind of silly trends, so to speak, is whoever wins the regular season MVP does not win the Super Bowl after. And I tell you, the road to hell is just littered with bodies and great quarterbacks. Kurt Warner in 2001, Rich Gannon in 2002. Okay, there was Sean Alexander, running back. Tom Brady again, Peyton Manning, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady. Man, unbelievable as far as winning the regular season MVP. And it's coming down to Hurts and Mahomes. But for Philadelphia Eagles fans' sake, John, I think Mahomes is going to win the regular season MVP. And I tell you what, if you're an Eagle fan, you're probably happy about that. This little Super Bowl MVP thing, regular season MVPs haven't won the Super Bowl since 1999 in Kurt Warner, which is just crazy to me, John.
Yeah, Gabe, it's something that we've been talking about here for the last half of the regular season. And Eagles fans, after Hurts went down with the injury and he kind of lost being the favorite in the MVP race, what me and my co-host Ike Reese would say is that, well, remember, it's been over 20 years since the regular season MVP has won the Super Bowl. So let's shoot for Jalen Hurts being the Super Bowl MVP. You know, it's so weird. I don't know the rhyme or reason, or we've tried to figure out why this is the case, but it's been the case. So until it actually gets broken, let Pat Mahomes have that MVP, and we'll have Jalen Hurts as the Super Bowl MVP. And that's kind of how we're trying to spin it right here. I don't care about the regular season MVP. Let's win the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's all that matters. And, hey, listen, it's just unbelievable with the two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, actually, are the two guys that are up for the most valuable player. So who do you think, maybe not necessarily is going to win the MVP of the game, but from the Philadelphia Eagles standpoint, who's a player that you think is going to have a big game and or sort of needs to have a big game for the Philadelphia Eagles to beat the Kansas City Chiefs, John?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick, and you saw the impact that he had in the game against San Francisco, and the 49ers tried to block him with a tight end, which was a bad idea, and that's the hit he gets on Brock Purdy. Boom, he's out of the game with that elbow injury. Hassan Reddick, you know, they signed him, Gabe, it was a three-year, $45 million contract, I believe, which isn't exactly chump change, but for an elite pass rusher, a three-year contract with like $30 million guaranteed, that isn't a whole heck of a lot, so they got a great signing with Hassan Reddick. He had 16 sacks in the regular season. He has 19 and a half sacks if you add the playoff games since he's been an Eagle this year. And if you're gonna beat the Chiefs, you got to put pressure on Pat Mahomes, and you got to get to him. He's so good at working within the pocket, wiggling out of trouble. So if Hassan Reddick has a big game and the Eagles' defensive line has a big game, I think it's very easy to connect those dots and say the Eagles win the game.
A lot of people, a trendy player in the betting markets, as far as the Eagles are concerned, is Kenneth Gainwell. What's your opinion on Kenneth Gainwell and the impact that he can have on this football game?
It's interesting because he was a mid-round draft pick, and he was really used more as a third-down back and a back out of the backfield in the passing game in previous years more than he was used as an actual running back. But you look at what he's done in the playoffs, and you look at some of the success he's had this year. He's been fantastic. He really has. So it's difficult. Like, if you're trying to say, okay, what's a good bet for an MVP out of a backfield? If it's not Jalen Hurts, if he doesn't have a great passing game, who's a guy that would have great odds right now? I would go Gainwell over Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders has been good, but for whatever reason, the Eagles seem to really like what they found in Gainwell late in the season and then again in the playoffs. So Gainwell, he's kind of slippery. He's kind of shifty. He's not a guy that has breakaway speed. He's not going to get through a hole, and he's not going to outrun the entire defense. But, man, especially like from the 30-yard line in, he can really take one and take it to the house. So Gainwell, again, it's one of the strengths of this Eagles offense is they have three running backs that can really run well in addition to Jalen Hurts.
John Marks with us just for a couple more minutes from WIP Radio in Philadelphia. And, of course, the crew from WIP are going to be on location in Glendale, as will we. We look forward to saying hi to John in person. You know, I want to ask you before we get you out of here, just we'll get your pick, and you know, or not pick, but early, you know, lean. But Sirianni's, you know, done such a great job with this team, done such a great job adapting to the personnel that he has, John. So many times you see these new coaches, they take over a team, they slam the playbook on the table, and they'll blame the players for not executing it, per se, after. And they'll never adapt to the personnel that they have. I thought Sirianni did. He caught on last year quickly, and he continues to do a great job. Yeah, I sort of see similarities in the approach, the football approach of Andy Reid. But what's kind of little known about this is that people are like, oh, Sirianni was on the Kansas City Chiefs coaching staff. Yeah, he was until Andy Reid got there. Right, John? That's what I find interesting. He was not retained when Andy Reid arrived in Kansas City. I know there's no bad blood, but talk to me about the coaches and if I'm crazy and seeing any similarities in the way they go about things.
Like the Sean McVays and the Sean Paytons and the offensive coaches that are hired and they're calling the plays, Nick Sirianni called plays early last season, but he gave the play-calling responsibilities to Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator. And so he's not the offensive guru. He's not out scheming people. He's not the one that's going out there and playing this chess match. But you know what he does? And I think it's similar to what defensive coaches do, right? What guys that aren't calling plays as do. He's the overseer. He's the CEO. He gets the guys playing hard for him. I mean, they really, really do play hard for him. He's very good with clock management. Very, very rarely do you ever see bad timeouts or delay of games or at the end of halves where they're screwing things up or they don't have enough time left on the clock. Since he stepped away from calling the plays, it feels like the game is managed really, really well. And he's involved in game planning and everything else. Don't get me wrong. He's still important to the offensive side of the ball, but he has taken on the CEO role, and it's not normally something that offensive head coaches want to. I mean, Mike McCarthy obviously now he's calling plays because he wanted to call plays, so the offensive coordinator's gone because that's what offensive coaches want to do. They want to call plays. Nick Sirianni, and it's a point to his ego, he said, you know what, whatever's best for the team, let's have somebody else call the plays, and it's really, really worked. And the guys love him. I do a show with Brandon Graham, the Eagles defensive end, every week, and I can tell you both on the air and then just talking to him off the air, they really, 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 really like Nick Sirianni, and he gets the most out of him.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, unless it's like Bill Walsh or something, like I don't want – it's too hard to call plays. Like you said, if you're the coach and everything, you got to love – I know we got to get out of here, but you got to love – my Buffalo Bills did it. Well, we wouldn't want to have to be in a position that we were able to draft Jamar Chase. Shut up. Yeah, because you've been a powerhouse for, the last 100 years. And you got to love Jerry Jones. We're in it for the long haul. Yeah, how long, Jerry? What's a 100-year plan? We're in it for this long – like the parting shot. We're in it for the long haul, not a runoff. Yeah, settle down, Jerry.
Yeah, how about winning one? No, I mean, honestly, if you're Jerry Jones, you should be. I mean, and by the way, the Eagles have one of the youngest teams in the NFL. They're in terrific cap shape.
And they have draft picks as well.
Next year. They have an additional second-round draft pick in 2024. They're well-run, and yet they still go out and spend money in free agency. They just pick the right guys. So, if Jerry got better play out of his quarterback, I think he'd be singing a different tune, and maybe the Cowboys are still playing.
All right, final question on the way out here. We got about 30 seconds. What's your early lead? What's your feel? I'm not going to ask you for your prediction right now. We're still a little far off, but what's your feel for the Super Bowl right now?
The Eagles want to play the game in the 20s. If it becomes a shootout, I think that is not good for the Eagles. So if they can play in the 20s and the Chiefs haven't scored 30 points in the postseason yet this year, I mean, the Eagles are slight favorites in the game, and I think the Eagles are going to win by a slight amount of points. So that's how I would leave it at least at this point.
Hey, John, safe travels to Arizona. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
I'll see you next week in person, Gabe. Appreciate it, man.
John Marks, WIP Radio, kicking it. Philadelphia, countdown to Super Bowl 57 continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Friday Night Freak Show continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenzi, kicking it on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. And, of course, shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, San Diego, SoCal in the house. So is Steve Del Vecchio, Larry Brown Sports, LarryBrownSports.com. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing, Steve?
Anytime. I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
So I would ask you, Steve, can you believe Kyrie Irving? But of course we can believe Kyrie Irving. And you're in Boston, so you've seen his act up close before. So, can we say that we're surprised that Kyrie Irving is demanded a trade? Hell no. I'm not surprised when Kyrie does anything at this point, Steve.
No, me neither. I mean, this is his, you know, he's always got to be the center of attention. This is his typical story. I mean, you saw the reports like last week or the week before, whatever it was, that he was looking for an extension and wanted to stay with the Nets. So obviously, you know, I think this is just his way of trying to stamp his feet. He didn't get the contract. He's probably can see the writing on the wall that he's not going to get the contract. So he's probably kind of trying to start his free agency, you know, a few months early, kind of, you know, last year said it all. I mean, he's playing under a player option this season. Do you think he wants to be playing under a player option? Of course not. He picked up his $36 million option after the Nets wouldn't sign him to an extension, and he could have easily declined the option and gone to free agency. But obviously he must have done his homework first and realized that nobody wanted to sign him in free agency either. It's not like he was just, you know, super committed to the Nets and wanted to see things through no matter what, you know, how he wants to frame it. Obviously nobody wanted to pay him. So I think now that he's, you know, managed to avoid drama for a few months since the, you know, anti-Jewish thing that he had going on earlier in the season, and he's playing at a pretty high level. Now he's just trying to capitalize on, you know, a rare spurt of no drama and good play. So, yeah, I think he just wants a new contract. He probably realized he's not getting it from the Nets, and he's trying to move on. I mean, they don't, you know, they probably saw it coming. They don't have to trade him. He can always sit out. I'm sure they know he's willing to go AWOL if he doesn't get what he wants. But yeah, it's just more of the same. And like I said, this is the exact reason why he's playing under a player option this season.
And you're exactly right. So he's playing under a player option, and the whole premise of it, coming off of the anti-vax stance that he took, was, you know, prove it to us. And it wasn't just that, but there's been a million things over the years, obviously. And it was like, all right, Kyrie, if you have a great year, there's no drama, you're going to get paid, and there's not going to be any problems. So, of course, he had the anti-Semitism stuff earlier in the year, doubled down on it for the most part. Nothing ever really happened. The NBA didn't do anything, right? I mean, nothing. He's going to the All-Star game. So it's like nothing ever really happened to him. But it's amazing, isn't it, Steve, that in his mind, going 2 months without saying something racist or leaving his team, basically he thinks that's proving to the world that he deserves to get paid, right? Like, oh, Kevin's been out for a month and I haven't caused any problems for 4 weeks. It really is like a petulant child, isn't it, in which I haven't, you know what I mean? Well, I didn't skip school this week, so, like, you know what I mean? Why don't you buy me a car? Yeah, you know what I mean? I'm looking for an analogy. It's like, bro, like, okay, so you didn't do anything stupid in the last month. And for the record, too, and you guys reported, Larry Brown, it's out there. You reposted it. The reports are, too, the Nets were going to give him the max. They were going to give him the money, but there were stipulations in the contract, which evidently he took offense to, Steve.
Yeah, right. The guy, yeah, he doesn't want to be held accountable for anything that he's done in his past, because he lives in this little kind of fantasy world where he genuinely thinks that everything he's done is right. Every apology he's ever given has been, you know, forced from outside factors. He truly believes that he hasn't done anything wrong. He doesn't think he did anything wrong when he went AWOL on the Nets last year. He doesn't actually think the anti-Semitism thing was any big deal. He just, you know, he thinks that he's the almighty, you know, sent here for a bigger reason. I mean, you've heard Charles Barkley go off on him a million times. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. It's just, it never ends with him, and it's never going to end. And teams know that, and nobody's going to give him 4 years, $200 million or whatever it is that he wants. And aside from, you know, like we jokingly say, the him playing at a high level and staying healthy and, I guess, with his nose out of trouble for the past couple of months, he thinks that that makes anything hugely different from the way it was last offseason when nobody wanted to pay him. So I think he's just in the same place he was over the summer. Nobody wants to pay him. Maybe he thinks that he can, I don't know, manipulate a trade into getting some sort of new contract, whether it's, you know, a year or two guaranteed added on. I have no idea. Or he's just mistakenly thinks he can muscle the Nets into caving to his contract demands. But I don't see that happening either.
Steve Delvecchio kicking it with us from Larry Brown Sports. I am Gabe Morency, Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. So Tom Brady, you and I have talked a lot about Tom Brady, and I sort of gave up. As a betting man, I would have lost a lot of money. And actually, I did lose a lot of money betting against him as a Bills fan. But I would have lost money as well, you know, kind of trying to predict what he's going to do, right? I never predicted him and Giselle would end up breaking up either, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, you know? So with Tom Brady, I wasn't sure whether he would come back or not, but I'm not surprised he retired. But what did surprise me is sort of the suddenness of it. Like, he's always liked drama. Remember, like, when he left New England, it was Super Bowl weekend. He had his, remember the picture in the tunnel? And, like, you know, Steve, you know, like, everything about him is perfection. You know what I mean? Clean, perfection. Like, my hair needs to be perfect. Like, what am I wearing? Like, everything. It just, what surprised me about it was, I don't know, man, it looks like he was sitting on the side of the road somewhere, like in a ditch. And I'm retired. Love you. Thank you, everybody. I almost got to feel like he just woke up in a bad mood and said, you know what? F the world. I'm retiring. And I don't know, the way that he did it, that's what surprised me, Steve. Not that he retired. The way, like, this, like, really? You just posted a little minute and a half video like that? Like, strangely? That was strange to me, Steve.
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, I think it's probably twofold. I think there's probably an element to it of he probably has a little bit of self-awareness of, you know, how kind of embarrassing the situation was last year when he retired for 40 days. And, you know, it's awkward when, you know, every single person you've ever played for or played with releases a 2-page long emotional statement on Instagram about how great you are and there'll be nobody better to ever do it and this and that. I mean, this stuff went on for days and days last off. So I think there's probably a little bit of awareness there of, you know, I can't take the same approach and kind of expect that big farewell I got. And then I think there's another element of, I think a lot of, you know, the way that some of that stuff leaked out last year probably irritated him. Like you said, he's a perfectionist. He probably thinks that, you know, those close to him are airtight, that he, you know, no information leaks out of the Tom Brady camp. And in last offseason, the whole, you know, everything that kind of happened seemed to leak before it happened. When he retired briefly, you know, some of that came out first. It was kind of messy the way it was reported, where I think it was Schefter or somebody reported it, and then his own TB12 brand reported it as if it was a fact. But the TB12 brand, whoever tweeted it, whoever their social media manager was just going off the Schefter report, but presenting it as fact, and it wasn't fact yet, and Brady hasn't announced it. And you get the point. I mean, I think the messiness of it last offseason probably, you know, crawled up his pipe a little bit, and he probably, you know, despite the, you know, the way he delivered the message was kind of weird on a beach and, you know, the minute and a half, like you said. But I think the overall point was that he wanted to make sure that he got it out and before anybody else knew. And I think probably the only way that he could make sure of that was to announce it probably, you know, fairly shortly after he made the actual decision. So I think it was probably more about just protecting against, you know, leaks from last time. And then, yeah, more about not wanting to, you know, ham it up too much when he realizes that he already did that a year ago. He doesn't want to be the next, you know, Brett Favre.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. And I think he also knew that every time that he was going to step out in public or any time that he was going to go on with his guy, Jim Gray, you know, remember when he said, Jim, if I effing knew, like, you know, like, that was sort of like, Jim knows, but it's like, Jim, F off, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like I get it that he,
to everybody else.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with this every week, and I don't want to, you know what I mean? You've got other teammates. Well, he won't go back to here, and he won't go there. Like, I think you're right about that. And it creates this little Fox thing, because reports are, Steve, that Fox didn't know even, right? He didn't tell them.
Yeah. So, like, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, so they sort of find out, like, and then they're like, wow. And I don't know why everybody's, like, making drama about this with Greg Olsen and stuff. It's not like Brady's doing the Super Bowl next week, guys. He's like, you know what I mean? No. Like, they're like, this creates tension and stuff. No, it doesn't. He's Greg Olsen. Right. He's Tom Brady. No, there's no tension at all. And, like, the whole Fox, yeah, they didn't know, but whatever, man. He'll be good to go next year. Like, people, what are they going to do for the Super Bowl? Well, I'll tell you what it is. My bet is Steve Brady will do an appearance. He'll be on the pregame show. Maybe, you know, maybe at the stadium, but I'm thinking on the set somewhere. They did pay him $320 million or whatever. If I'm Fox, I do want to get a couple of minutes out of Brady. I'm paying you. You know what I mean? I get it. You're not on the clock, but if you're a team player, which he will be, it's time to get on TV. But this drama about Olsen and stuff, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he was the next, Olsen was the next Tony Romo. He kind of, he was on, you know, the B team, and then Buck and Aikman left, and he was kind of
That's what
like
I said, Steve. I watch everything, bro. Like, Olsen was doing USFL football 2 years ago. Like, you
right.
know what I mean? He was on the D team, like the new guy. Let's give him some reps, right?
Exactly.
He is good, but let's not get carried away.
Right. He should be thankful that, I mean, not that he should be thankful, but you know what I mean? Like, the stars aligned for him perfectly to even spend a season on Fox's A team. It's not like he had been, like, earning that spot for years and years and years and finally gets his chance. I mean, the only reason he was on Fox's A team this year was because Buck and Aikman left. So, I mean, he kind of had to have known that was a temporary thing. I think, you know, his comments got a little blown out of proportion where he said, you know, of course he's disappointed. He probably shouldn't have been so open about that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you knew it's coming. It's an arms race with all of these big networks. You look at all the big names everybody has, Buck Aikman, Al Michaels went to Amazon. You got Tony Romo at CBS. It's like who fits in better with the network/streaming arms race, Tom Brady or Greg Olson? I mean, you've got to kind of, you know where you stand there. And it's no big surprise if it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't Tom Brady signing a $375 million deal with Fox, I think they probably would have pushed harder to, like, get Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit or whoever. You know how these media, the wheels turn. So, yeah, I think Greg Olson kind of was a Band-Aid, and I think that he probably is kind of aware of that, even if he says he's, you know, crushed by whatever Brady coming. But, you know, yeah, it was either going to be, you know, next season or the season after for Olson. So, I mean, you can't really cry for him too much.
Steve, we got about a minute left here. So as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, who do you like?
I mean, I like the Eagles. I think the experience matters with the Chiefs. I'm not going to discard that completely. I think Mahomes has been there. Andy Reid's been there so many times. I think that's important. But it's just so many times you just see the better defense usually comes out on top in the Super Bowl. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is obviously a question mark. This is his, you know, first great season, first Super Bowl appearance, all that. But when it's this close and kind of a toss-up game, I'm always going to lean to the defense, and the Eagles clearly had the better defense all season. They've got one of the best defenses in the league. So to me, I give them the slight lean. At the same time, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, I don't think Mahomes' ankle will be 100%. He was limping around in the AFC Championship. I don't think he's going to be 100% 2 weeks later. I don't think it'll be a huge factor. But, yeah, I just, again, it's the defense for me. I think, you know, in any of those field goal games, I'm going to lean with the defense. So I'd say the Eagles only for that reason.
Steve DelVecchio, Steve Del Sports on Twitter, LarryBrownSports.com, great website. And there's going to be a lot of stuff to break down next week, man, with the Super Bowl, NBA trade deadline. God knows what's going to happen, like, in the next 24 hours even. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, Steve.
Anytime.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Three-minute warning. Level two, this is Sports Rage. Thanks to Steve DelVecchio for kicking with us, as well as John Marks. Rob Vino will kick it with us as well in level three from Philadelphia. Rob Vino, wagertalk.com, Rob Vino, sports.com. The NHL All-Star Skills Competition was tonight, and it had its moments. It had its moments where it was super entertaining and a lot of fun. And it had its moments where it was like, you know, you'd rather be in traffic court than watching it. One of the cool things, and you know what the problem was, and this is something, the NHL's heart is in the right place. They have good ideas, right? They're trying their hardest for this skill stuff, and they're trying to come up with, every year, they're trying to come up with these, you know, different cool things. And like I said, overall, it was cool. Right. And, you know, normally, you know, I'd be like, oh, it's a waste of time and all this stuff. No, like, it was pretty cool. Right. You could tell the players actually enjoyed themselves for the most part. It was just a little long. And, you know, it's like they don't want to hear any criticism. Oh, you're being negative. You know what I mean? If you say that. Yet, you know, the best thing that ever happened to the Home Run Derby. And I think we could all agree. I don't know if we could all agree, but I think it's, you know, I think it's clear that the The home run derby is the coolest thing out of the all-star skills now, right? The slam dunk used to be epic with Vince Carter and Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. Now it's like a bunch of dudes you never heard of, and they get 10 attempts, and they can't even do it. It sucks. It's like, it really sucks. Like, they destroyed the slam dunk contest by the, you know, like, that's the whole thing. Load management, one thing. It's how weak is it that the star players don't do the slam dunk contest? You're not going to get hurt, right? Like, why don't you do it? You know why they don't do it? They don't want to lose. Freaking weak. But Sarah Nurse was anything but weak tonight. We'll hit that on the other side. Bring it.